time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. I am Paul Gallant. It is Thursday, April 7th, 2022, Major League Baseball's opening day. No Vanessa today again. She's up in Indianapolis with her family. In case you didn't know, her father passed away. We're thinking about her and her family and really appreciate all the kind words that you've sent my way. I've been trying to relay as many as I can to her. Obviously, you don't want to be too annoying when someone's going through something like that, but we are a big family here, and again, we love that you guys have been sticking with us for this as well, because I know that me by myself, not quite the same, a little bit more ADD, a little bit more rambling, and perhaps less talking about the sports and more talking about really dumb things. But the Astros do open up their quest to make it to a sixth straight American League Championship Series, a fourth World Series over the last 6 years, and to win their second World Series, which has, of course, been rather elusive. Opening at 10-1 odds, third in all of baseball, to actually win the whole damn thing. Behind the Blue Jays, which is annoying, kind of understandable, given the trajectory of Toronto. But that's neither here nor there. And they're going to open things up tonight in Anaheim against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States of America, of North America, formerly a Pangea of planet Earth. Framber Valdez on the hill against Shohei Ohtani. I like the odds 10-1 to win the title. I do. And I thought about it today. It is my birthday weekend. Tomorrow, for those who don't know, you know, we're going to go party down in Hitchcock. You got to come join me. Bon temps roulé. But I was thinking about it. Dropping, I don't know. I don't know what the gamblers say, units on the Astros to win the title. Is that like a polite way of not saying how much money you're actually gambling? But I was thinking about putting some units down. 10-1's not bad. There's a bit of a chip on their shoulder, I'd imagine, going into this year, given the fact that they have lost a couple of World Series, that people are probably starting to doubt them without Carlos Correa. But I'm curious about something else. Look. Yesterday, we spoke with each other, and we shared our fears about the Houston Astros going into this season. The things that we're concerned about. The bullpen, number one. Number two, what's Jeremy Peña going to do this year? And three, health-wise, are they going to actually make it through a whole year? With Yuli Gurriel at 37, Michael Brantley at 35, Justin Verlander getting up there as well, 39 years old. You've got an exceptionally old ball club in certain spots, and it stands to reason that some of these guys could potentially miss serious time. Lance McCullers, of course, already missing serious time, and we'll see how long it takes for Jake Meyers to get back. But now we get to put back our cocky little Astros cap back on. I don't know if y'all are Kangol cap people. Not a fan. Vanessa wasn't a fan either. Don't wear a Kangol cap around Vanessa and come up to her. I'm not a fedora guy either. Perhaps you're just wearing a regular Astros hat. I think the one that's got the orange brim is the best version. Put it back on. You are a cocky Astros fan. Do you take the Angels remotely seriously? Mike Trout, former MVP. Heard a lot. Shohei Ohtani, MVP. Pitches, hits. Noah Syndergaard's there. He's good at baseball. Also, he was in Game of Thrones and threw a spear. Probably got murdered by the Dothraki horde and or a dragon. That's neither here nor there. Do you take the Angels seriously? So I threw that poll up on Twitter. Some interesting responses. Here's mine. Nope. It's funny that we see so many national baseball talking heads give the Angels the kind of street cred that they do going into every single year, right? I mean, it feels like every single season they are a trendy pick to potentially upset the Astros, win the American League West. And it's because of the star power that they have. And it's like people forget that baseball's not the NBA. It's great to have some star players, but they actually have got to do something. And it's one of the reasons that I get annoyed that Mike Trout and that Shohei Ohtani are constantly in MVP conversations because, look, okay, maybe they're the most valuable player in baseball, but shouldn't the most valuable player in baseball, I don't know, play for a team that doesn't suck?
But, Paul, his wins above replacement, it's like 12. Whoa, that's incredible.
And they're still, what, 10 games under 500? Why is that the case every single year? People hype up the Angels. I'm not feeling them. And I'm annoyed that the game is going to take place in Anaheim to open the season. It should be here. Obviously, I know there are some scheduling changes given Rob Manfred is bad at his job. And, of course, you have the back and forth between the players and the owners. But, man, an 8:38 start in Los Angeles against a always hyped, never delivering Angels team. I'm annoyed by it. Just a little bit. Paul, you're always annoyed. I know. It's opening day. I should be very happy. Should I make a bold prediction right now? I suppose it's the last chance to do it. A lot of people in sports talk radio back in the day, like, this was a big deal. You got to make your predictions. We put a time capsule down, and then we come back to it at the end of the year. Something tells me that since I am back in town, the Astros will win the World Series. It's not because of, you know, what's potentially going to happen, the further growth of Kyle Tucker, the further growth of Luis Garcia or Jose Urquidy. No, it is about me being back because the last time I was here, the Astros won a World Series, damn it. And I'm going to say it's all me. I'm the one who brings the luck. I am the Rain Man. But some answers to this, asking the question, hey, do you respect the Seattle Mariners? Check that. See, this is a bad habit. I got to get through it, Paul. Opening day for the Astros now. 3, 2, 1. Put your cocky Astros fan hat on. Should we actually take the Angels seriously this year? No. 80% with 104 votes. Yes. 20%. A couple of responses. Unless Syndergaard and Ohtani each make 25 to 30 starts, then they're at best the third best team in the division. Another person says, it's amazing that the Angels have managed to stay an old, underperforming, injury-riddled team through Trout's prime, and now Trout's to get to be a part of that tradition as they do the same thing to Ohtani. Yeah, remember they had Albert Pujols for that period of time. And what do they have to show for Albert Pujols and his era with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which was a pretty damn long time, right? I mean, he was there a long time. So how are you feeling going into this opening series against the Angels? I would imagine that most of us are looking at them and thinking, yeah, they're not an actual threat. I also set some over-unders for the season, and we'll be releasing them over the course of the program. Baseball Paul is here. Here's number one. And I think this is the guy that we have the most questions about going into this year because of, one, his struggles in the World Series, two, because of his injury history. Will Alex Bregman play over 130 games in 2022? Here's the math here from Baseball Paul.
Well, if you take a look back at the numbers, over a possible 222 games the last two seasons, Alex Bregman's only played in 133.
He only played in, I think, 90 last year, and I think he missed about 20 games during the 2020 season as well. Will Alex Bregman actually play 130-plus games? You take a look at the Astros who played for the most of last season. Obviously, they have some days off along the way. You saw guys playing about 140, 145, 146 games or so, ones who weren't dealing with injury. Can Alex Bregman get over 130? I feel like it'll be important for him to get over 130 without a Carlos Correa. I mean, look, no matter what you feel about the Astros and their history when it comes to moving on from good players and bringing up a prospect, it's been pretty good thus far. You're now doing it again. At some point, this is going to work. And Jeremy Peña, there's a good chance that there's some real struggles for him. And he's going to have to respond from them. You know, you talk to anybody who's been watching him at spring training, and they're all saying, look, this guy's not scared of anything. He's built. He's put together. I mean, he looks like he could have some serious potential. And there was a reason that he was the Astros' number one prospect. But when you join a World Series caliber team and you're replacing a guy who was, upon arrival, essentially the player that turned the Houston Astros into contenders back in 2015 when he first came up. I mean, that was when we first started looking at the Astros and we were like, hey, now we got something here. You win the wild card game against the Yankees, almost beat the Kansas City Royals. Thanks for nothing, Will Harris. That moment where he arrived was when the Astros became this. He's not there anymore.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm really bummed out he's not here. And I'm going to hold this against the Astros, assuming that Jeremy Peña can't live up to whatever hype they have for him in their own head. And if Peña can't deliver, we're going to have to see a lot of Alex Bregman. 130 games played. Over, under. You decide on that one. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa. She's up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. Ugh, really awful. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Whitney Mercilus retired from the NFL yesterday. Houston Texan for 10 years. And it led to a question that, my God, it is just so embarrassing to throw this out if you are a Houston sports fan. You'll hear what that question is next.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Excuse me. Sean Mays behind the glass. Can we play songs that have cats meowing coming into it? Because this is more of a cat-friendly program than a dog-friendly program. Thank you. I'm just kidding. What song is that? I have no idea what that song is.
Is that a microaggression? This is Jane's Addiction, Been Caught.
Been Caught, okay. And the dog, as I'm guessing, barking at someone who has been caught intruding or something like that, huh? Yeah, that's 100% a microaggression. I learned those in Seattle. Tiger Woods is at the Masters today. He's wearing a pink turtleneck. Also, one of my buddies, since this is my birthday weekend and I'm still someone who celebrates like a child, has told me that he's going to put down a couple buckaroos for me. Units, if you will. He is in a state where it's legal to gamble. It's fine. He's putting down some units for me. He said, like, I'll give you $10. Pick who you want. And I was like, Who's Kevin Kisner? I guess he's 100-1. So bleep it. We'll do it live. We'll see what happens. 713-780-3776. Before we get into Whitney Mercilus's retirement and a question that makes no sense to me, and it's embarrassing that anyone's even asking it, Juan is in Cyprus, 713-780-ESPN. Juan, what's going on?
Hey, love your show.
Thanks,
I'm
Juan.
Sorry that Vanessa's not there. And I'm trying to change your mind about, you know, holding it against the Astros for not signing, Correa. And here's my take.
Okay.
Would you really love, you know, a woman that really doesn't love you back? And the fact that a woman that threatens to leave you every other day, would you really want that woman? Because that's Correa. You can hold on to something, but he always threatens to leave because he wants more money. And, you know, the Astros just got sick of, hey, you want to stay here? Stay. Otherwise, hit the road. And so, that's what you would do with a woman. Why would you want a woman that keeps on threatening to leave you? Hey, there's a door. Keep going.
Well, Juan, you're a bigger man than me, but what if the woman's really hot? That's my counter. And I would say that in terms of Carlos Correa's baseball skill, that's where he's at. And I think for that one-year contract, I've seen this happen before. It's generally disastrous. But say you have a vacation trip planned with someone that, you know, it's on the verge of ending. Don't you want to go and try to have fun along the way? Sure, there could be an absolute disaster that takes place. I'd appreciate the phone call, Wad, where, I don't know, maybe this person starts trying to cheat on you with other people on the group. One time, one of my friends who saw his then girlfriend, who was breaking up with him over the course of Yacht Week in Greece, saw her talking to me at the bar, putting her hand on my hand, came up to me, turned me around, grabbed me by the face, and kissed me on the lips like I was Fredo Corleone. That could, I guess, happen if you bring Carlos Correa back this coming season. But I think he could have given it one more go. Just one. Because I do think, too, that this contract ask wasn't hard to meet. I don't think he was being as demanding as Juan implied in that call. But I like the comparison. That's a fantastic analogy. Maybe you got a career in sports talk radio. Stay off my airwaves. I'm just kidding. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll check out some of the Twitch chat in a little bit as well. Classic music, Paul. been caught stealing? Come on, youngins. It's not my fault. It really is not my fault. I'm just musically challenged. My parents wouldn't let me watch MTV. And there's only so much music you can illegally download. I mean, find on Kazaa or LimeWire in a post-Napster world. Cut me some slack, please. Whitney Merciless retired from the NFL yesterday. He made the announcement on Twitter. It's time to hang it up. Mercy out. Peace sign. Emoji. I'm hanging up the cleats and I'm looking forward to the next chapter of my life. Pretty good career. You make it in the NFL for 10 years. Good job by you. Seriously, that is hard to do. Pick number 26 in the 2012 draft. Coming on the heels of the Texans' first playoff victory over the Cincinnati Bengals with J.J. Watt getting that pick six. He had that 16-sack season at Illinois, which is why he was drafted there, but he never quite became that pass rusher. Still, though, he played, I thought, solid to good over the course of his career, a career that featured 58 sacks, 117 quarterback hits, 73 tackles for a loss, two interceptions, 13 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries. I saw this question thrown out by Sarah Barshop of ESPN, and I'm going to cut her slack because it's the off season. You want to create engagement. So she asked people, should the Texans put Whitney Merciless in a Ring of Honor? We should not even have this conversation. We should not do it. And it's embarrassing that we're doing it. Look, the Texans don't have a lot in terms of great players in their franchise's history. They've had some, don't get me wrong, but they haven't had that many. And you got to have a high standard of excellence to get into it. Otherwise, it turns into what the NFL Hall of Fame is becoming to an extent. But at least those guys, you can make a case, oh yeah, I mean, he was one of the best players on his respective franchise for a long period of time. If you're saying Whitney Merciless belongs in the Ring of Honor, there are a lot of other players that you would also have to put in. You'd have to put in Dwayne Brown. You would have to put in Arian Foster. You would have to put in probably DeAndre Hopkins, even though he was only here for a couple of years. Hopkins, though, has a pretty good chance of making it in, just given what he's done thus far in his career. There's a lot of names. D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is a lot more merited getting in than Whitney Merciless. So I don't want to disrespect the guy's career, especially on a day like that, but you see that question thrown out there, and it is really embarrassing. Like, have a higher standard. There's only two players right now that should be in the Texans' Ring of Honor. It should be one, Andre Johnson, and two, J.J. Watt. And after that, you really got to be careful. If Merciless gets in, Matt Schaub gets in. He was the best quarterback in franchise history for a while. Before Deshaun Watson came in, we're not going to even entertain the Deshaun Watson to the Ring of Honor, but Deshaun Watson would make a lot more sense than Whitney Merciless, right? So I hate to make Whitney Merciless's retirement, which should be a happy story for him. He's a really nice guy. I always enjoyed talking with him in the locker room. I hate to make it about this, but that question, come on, guys, we're better than this. This is the same kind of logic that gets you going into a season, convincing yourself that Davis Mills is definitively the guy. He might be. I think the answer is probably not. And I still have to watch film. Obviously, we're, you know, with Vanessa out this week. And again, thinking about her up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed. Been focusing a little bit more on just, okay, let's just do the actual show. And when Vanessa's back, maybe we can focus a little bit more on some of the things to the side. Davis Mills, what's going on in the draft. Watch film for like a couple of hours. Because when I watch it, I just can't stop. But the same kind of logic that talks yourself into Tom Savage starting the season in 2017, to Brian Hoyer versus Ryan Mallett not being that bad, to all of these lines of thinking get you to the point where you're like, yeah, Whitney Merciless was good. You don't have to honor everybody. You don't have to be the NBA, where every player who's ever played for any team, even if it's just for a year, gets a bleeping tribute video when they come back to the arena. You don't have to do this. Ring of Honor, that's too far for Whitney Merciless. And again, I like him a lot. Good dude, great personality, did a lot of things for the city. I have a great deal of respect for him. but I think that the Texans Ring of Honor should be a place that's hard to get into. And guess what? Your history, there's plenty of history left to be written. Hopefully, it'll be written very quickly because we are writing calligraphy style right now. It is going bleeping slow, and it sucks, obviously. But come on, let's pump the brakes on Ring of Honor conversation for anyone that's not named J.J. Watt or Andre Johnson. That's it. I wish I brought a tinfoil hat in today. I heard the bench talking about this towards the end of the show. It's a post from Bill Barnwell of ESPN, who I do think does good work, but I think also sometimes is portrayed as this massive NFL expert when I think he looks at the numbers to make some of his assessments as opposed to actually watching a lot of the games. I don't fault him for that. It is difficult, I would imagine, to be a national NFL reporter and to watch every single game every single week. But there is a title, and it reads, NFL Wide Receiver Market Reset, How a Left Tackle Trade in 2017 Led to the Stunning Tyreek Hill Trade. And then I read that it was the Dwayne Brown trade, and I did not read another word of it. I could have put on a tinfoil hat, been like Alex Jones, and said, well, Dwayne Brown getting traded is clearly the reason that DeAndre Hopkins got traded. And then if you really think about it, when the Frogs are turning gay, all the liberals are telling you that, hey, Arian Foster, you know, he's somebody that looked at and you think to yourself, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist, so why can't I be a conspiracy theorist and look at how Dwayne Brown caused the Tyreek Hill trade? Like, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Am I lazy? Perhaps. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Coming up next, it's really fun to watch the Lakers crumble. And now you're hearing them whine and just get made fun of. They're out of the playoffs, and people are dancing on their graves. Let's dance together right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Got some funny comments on Twitch about Texans that should be in the Ring of Honor. Not Santa said, Whitney Merciless Papa John's commercials. We might have to find some of them. I wonder if he made it to an HEB ad. Not sure off the top of my head. I don't know if Scott was going to let him into the cool kids club.
Should that be the threshold for Houston athletes making their respective teams Ring of Honor?
Sean Mapes, that is perfect. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Were you in an HEB ad? If you weren't, no.
He's the dude from Gladiator giving you the thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down. It's like if you can sell some whatever, nacho cheese.
Yeah, or unless, and Jose Lima, unless you have like a Jose Lima-esque commercial for, what is it, Lima Time? Our good buddy, Patrick McClellan, who does Astros podcast, Lima Time, I think is the podcast name. A couple other ones. This is from Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch along. I'm wearing my Nolan Ryan Astros jersey today. Dick Willie says, Chris Brown in the Texans Ring of Honor. Jeez. I remember watching from afar. The Texans had, I think it was 2008 or 9. I forget the year, where they played in a bunch of really close games. And I remember watching on NFL primetime how Chris Brown would just shank it like at the end of the game. That's a mean one. I mean, shoot. We're going to put Randy Bullock in too. Poor Randy Bullock. Randy. This one's actually not terrible. Vontae Leach, best Texan ever. Yeah, Ring of Honor. Fullbacks don't get enough love. Come on, baby. Mega Blast. Go look at the Facebook group, Blessed to be a Texan Fan. They're bleeping idiots. Hey, that's not nice. They're just trying. Some people can enjoy it. Some people don't get beaten down by all the pain and the torture like we do. You know, some people actually can keep a positive attitude throughout. I don't know how they do it. It ain't me. By the way, also, not Santa tagged me on this on Twitter. Jake Marisnyk, he's back. But not with the Houston Astros. Honestly, I kind of love to see Jake Marisnyk, especially with what's going on in center field, you know, with Jake Byers. I mean, he's got good hair, like Sean Mapes behind the glass. Like, why not? But he signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates today. So, no more Jake Marisnyk. I just remember that he was a heartthrob among heartthrobs for any
Astro fan, it's a lady, perhaps someone who's, you know, leaning the other way. Good-looking guy. Nothing wrong with appreciating a good-looking guy. Am I right, folks? Also, nothing wrong with laughing at the Los Angeles Lakers. It just keeps on getting better and better. And look, I grew up a Celtics fan, so I hate the Lakers with a passion. And I know that most Rockets fans hate the Lakers because you have been dealing with them being one of the better teams in basketball over the last 30 years from a win-loss perspective. 40 years, too. You want to go back to the 80s. Because obviously it was the Rockets who took on the 86 Celtics, the greatest basketball team ever assembled in the finals, because the Lakers couldn't get it done against those Rockets. How about that? So we like to laugh at the Lakers. Steph Curry was doing an interview. I believe this was with 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. And guess who's already talking about who he'd like to play with next?
Who, my boy?
Take a listen.
Who else you want to play with?
In today's game, Steph Curry. Yeah. Steph Curry's the one that I want to play with.
Oh, shoot.
The chef.
You know what? Hey, he might want to play with you next weekend now.
That is phenomenal. When did he say that? Was that on the shop?
Yeah.
I guess the latest one, like, yeah. Okay.
Well, we got his wish, so he's the captain. He's picked me the last two All-Star games, so I don't know if that suffices, but I'm good right now.
A very diplomatic response. He went a little bit further and explained, it's pretty cool to be described that way by the best player in basketball. But the initial response is the one that you should be reading into. I wonder how many players would want to play with LeBron now. Remember during the offseason where Kawhi Leonard, we weren't sure where he was going to go, and some people thought, oh yeah, he's going to want to play with LeBron. Well, who wants to play with LeBron now? In a post-Kyrie Irving leaving Cleveland world, where, to Kyrie's credit, saw the writing on the wall, was like, screw this, I don't want this anymore, and left before LeBron eventually left. I like that other players are finally seeing, he's a great player, I don't know if I want to deal with all the crap. I don't know if I want to deal with him completely undermining whoever I have as a general manager, who generally has a better idea about how to build a basketball team for the short term and the long term, undermining whoever it is as a coach. He's a control freak. I don't blame him. Has he earned being a control freak with what he has done over the course of his career? You could certainly make that argument. But I don't think he's very good at doing all of those things. And the evidence is Russell Westbrook forcing the Lakers to trade for Russell Westbrook. They are now stuck with his absolutely preposterous contract, a cap hit of $45 million next year. $45 million. Think about that. How do you get out from that? And who the hell would want to take it on? Because now, if you trade for Russell Westbrook, there's a chance that he's going to go into the stands and murder a fan, given how he can't even handle Westbrook. What happens if someone says something worse? And look, I mean, the Westbrook stuff's funny. Some of the other stuff, what are you going to say when he gets in your face and asks you what you said? You're actually going to repeat it? But Westbrook, I'll call him that, has become a blight upon basketball, and LeBron can't get away from him. I love it. We also got to see, and this was, I think, on April 4th, Anthony Davis essentially whimpering about where the Los Angeles Lakers currently are these days, and saying, well, you know, if we had some injury luck go our way, we'd be fine.
What could have we have been if I was healthy all year, Bron was healthy, you know, K-Nunn is healthy. Like, you think about those things, you know, we put this team together, look really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being, you know, in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part about, you know, this season, just not being sure what we could have been.
I mean, what did you really think it was going to be? There was a reason everyone was laughing at you this offseason. There's a reason that LeBron, in a since-deleted tweet, said, keep that same energy, right? And this is what's funny about teams like this. You know, you get so cocky going into the year about old man Russell Westbrook, old man Carmelo Anthony, and breaking down like an old man Anthony Davis, along with old man LeBron James. It's like a bad movie about old people. Like, The Bucket List or Space Cowboys. By the way, go Sugarland Space Cowboys right here on your home for Sugarland Space Cowboys baseball, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. Anthony, you're a part of this problem. Oh, it's really frustrating. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure your teammates are also frustrated. I bet LeBron is pretty frustrated that last year, yeah, injuries going into the playoffs. And that this year, yeah, injuries upon injuries upon injuries that you're suffering. I'm not calling you out for it, but what would happen? I don't know, man. I feel like that's a question you should be asking yourself, not really the rest of the roster. One final comment by Anthony Davis, and it is a bit of a, oh, I'm sad. Why does everyone not like us? We're the Lakers. It's not our fault.
Now, there's no moral victories in this league, you know, especially with us. The whole world wants to see us lose, to be honest. So,
The whole world wants to see us lose, to be honest. Well, that's what happens when you force your way out of New Orleans in a, let's be quite honest, douchey manner. Oh, it wasn't me putting on that t-shirt at the end of his time. I forget what the t-shirt was, but remember, like he wore a t-shirt, I think. Was it a Lakers t-shirt, Sean?
No, it was a Looney Tunes That's All Folks
yes.
t-shirt that has since been repurposed by the Pelicans Twitter account when they made the play-in over the Lakers. They tweeted, That's All Folks.
Hell yes. That is fantastic. But yeah, he wore a shirt saying "That's all, folks" to his last game, and a publicist said, "Yeah, this is the shirt we picked today." Oh, okay.
Yeah, Anthony Davis went with the "I don't choose what clothes I wear" defense.
Anthony Davis, low key, and he'll get no criticism ever because he's with LeBron and he's LeBron's Robin. Like he is a sidekick,
and Russell Westbrook's also there.
And Carmelo Anthony's also there, too. So he's the sidekick to these two, like, all-time players that do. I mean, Westbrook has an MVP. And in the case of Carmelo Anthony, say all you want about Anthony, but Anthony was a hell of a player for Team USA. I mean, I don't know how much stock you put into it because Team USA is playing, like, a bunch of, like, oh, wow, a Balkans country. What'll happen here? Beat him by 73. But in this situation, Anthony Davis will never get the criticism that he is due. I mean, talk about complete failure. Sure, fine. You got a title. Okay, I guess. Asterisk. When I look at Anthony Davis, I see a guy who forced his way out of town and has already faded into becoming a guy that we're probably not going to remember 20 years from now. Is that going to change? I don't know. I feel like he is owed more criticism for the way that he left. With LeBron, okay, LeBron's kind of a golden god, but you got to do more in LA if you're going to force your way out of the Pelicans. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, twitch.tv. We're still getting people dumping on the Texans Ring of Honor. Artist formerly known as, Syphilis? Are we going down the road of sexually transmitted diseases? Jesus, guys. Also, Texans Ring of Honor center John Weeks. I mean, I like John Weeks. He's been here forever, which means he's probably one of the greatest long snappers of all time. E315702 says Texans Ring of Honor is something that should be sold in the vending machine in the men's bathroom. Oh, my God. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Paul Gallant right here. Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. We're thinking of her, and we really appreciate all the kind words that y'all have been sending her way. We're relaying them to you, whether it's on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Up next, so we're going to continue to go through some of our Astros over-unders for the year. And do all of these wide receiver contracts make you feel a little bit better about the DeAndre Hopkins trade? The answer is probably no, but can you spin it to yourself in one way or another? We'll talk about that next, too.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Just Paul Gallant here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. twitch.tv/ESPN975 and 713-780-376 is how you call in. It's also how you text in to the program. Scott from HEB retired, so I guess he can't officially make these determinations anymore as far as who gets into the Ring of Honor. I just agree. I think he has more time now. He was the guy who determined who gets in and who gets out. But I appreciate that update. I'm trying to stay up on pop culture as much. Also, the people of Houston should be in the Ring of Honor for paying for a retractable roof that doesn't retract. Well, it did for like the Seahawks game, didn't it? I think. That was nice. Here's the thing. There are certain games where you don't want it to retract. But I would say probably from November on, they should. Because what are you using it for? It's never retracted for the rodeo or concerts, if I'm not mistaken. So why is it always, you know, covered up? Just a question. Taxpayers are people too. McNair's. Although the McNair's actually did build that stadium on their own. To an extent. Of course, yeah, you add in that at the end. Anyway, we'll just move on. So I saw this story yesterday from the Buffalo Bills. They gave Stephon Diggs a 4-year, $104 million extension, $70 million guaranteed. He could be there. Check that. This is how the deal works. This is an extension because Diggs is not at the end of his contract yet. And I imagine he'll be complaining about this in a couple of years, just given his track record. But he is now with Buffalo for 6 more years for a total of $124.1 million if he plays for the entirety of the contract and there's no negotiations along the way. Which there probably will be. Bill O'Brien was a bad general manager. Bill O'Brien probably did not want to get into contract negotiations with anybody. But Bill O'Brien might have been onto something, and maybe I should ask him about this someday. Should you be paying a wide receiver that much money? And we've asked this question a couple of times on this show. $25 million a year for a wide receiver. It's just a stupid, preposterous amount of money. Because you're not giving him the ball every single play. You hope you are, and you've assumed that a good wide receiver is going to make things easier for his quarterback, but sometimes it can make things trickier for your quarterback. Sometimes a quarterback becomes so reliant on one wide receiver that in a big-time spot, say the divisional round in the playoffs, Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers kept on throwing to Devontae Adams all game long. It actually can be possible to throw to a wide receiver too much. And I remember Bill O'Brien once was asked about, hey, throwing to DeAndre Hopkins, there were some games where he was getting the ball targeted like 20 times. And he said, look, we can't target him enough. Well, to an extent, that's true. But there's another part of this where you should be looking to see who's open and trusting that person to get the ball. Easier said than done. It does require a degree of trust that a quarterback would put in every single wide receiver in a wide receiver group. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. See Tom Brady in his last stint with New England where he hated all the wide receivers that were there. But I do think that if you're paying a wide receiver that much money, the guy better be incredible. And when someone like Julio Jones gets a big contract and all of a sudden starts to fall off, or someone like DeAndre Hopkins gets a big contract and deals with injuries last year, even though he was really good the season before, you start to wonder just about how much of an obstacle that big-time wide receiver contract can be. There's only one guy, I think, in the NFL right now that I would have paid anything for, and that would be Tyreek Hill, just because I feel like he plays at a speed level and a quickness level that is completely unmatched across the league and has been unmatched, honestly, since probably Barry Sanders, at least in my humble opinion. He's worth it. Anybody else? I don't know. So I'm curious as to if people are looking back at that. And obviously, the return for DeAndre Hopkins, that was terrible. But getting away from the contract itself, do you get it? In a way, going forward. We also have some more questions about the Texans' Ring of Honor. Jones said, hey, I mean, if we're listing some of these names, how about, I don't know, Brock Osweiler, if HEB's the standard. Brock Osweiler did wear a cowboy hat in an HEB ad. He did. So
that is the one flaw. That is the one...
I don't know. I mean, I thought he was okay in those HEB ads.
Yeah, in the there we go. He can be in the HEB Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor.
He's great at pretending to be things.
They can hang up his jersey in all the HEB locations if I can.
In the National Football League, Sean, it is very important to be in your local city's local supermarket commercial in the National Football League. You know, every single grocery store ad has a different story, including this one where I'm wearing a cowboy hat for some reason. I'm from Montana. Respect my roots. Brock Osweiler, Texans Ring of Honor 2022.
Maybe if your head coach had never met you before you signed with the team, that disqualified. That's a little asterisk.
Okay.
That gets us out of the Brock Osweiler question.
That could be the
Brock Osweiler rule, to be honest.
That could be a potential disqualifier. Someone on Twitter says Chester Pitts and D'Amico Ryans as far as the Texans Ring of Honor. I still think we're going too far. Chester Pitts is the most positive person I've ever met. I hate to be this guy. He's so positive. It's just like, okay, stop. Like, stop enjoying life so much. Everything can't be this easy, can it? Can life be that good? I don't know. Maybe with some therapy, with some medication for me, maybe I could get to that level. I'm just envious of how positive that guy is. He's a very positive person. What else do we got here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5? I'm Paul Gallant. Astros over-unders. I'm setting them, and I'll tweet these out later. I am no gambling man, though. Maybe I put some units on the Astros to win it all. Someone texted in, hey, Paul, can you get me in on a parlay to get, like, the Astros Rookie of the Year and the MVP and World Series? That actually sounds like a fun parlay. I don't know how I would do it because I'm new to gambling. Like, I'm just doing it, and it's basically one of my friends is like, hey, you want to join in? And I'm like, all right. I'll put $10 down that I'm clearly going to lose. Better spend the $10 on this than spend it on fast food or a mojito. Just kidding. A mojito at the bar. I used to say mojito. That was wrong. I used to say Detroit. Also, that was wrong. What other things did I used to mispronounce? 713-780-3776. 713-780. ESPN. You were saying Urquidy yesterday, Paul, you dumbass. True. Astros over unders. Jose Altuve, here's one. An OPS of 850. Above or below? What say you? Baseball Paul's putting on his glasses right now.
Well, if you take a look at the numbers for Jose Altuve, the last two seasons, his OPS was .838. But the year before that, in 2020, it was .629. But in 2019, it was .903.
So I put it right in the middle. 850. You think he's going to get over it? Do you think he's going to be the same player? For an 162-game slate where he's going to be healthy, he's going to be there, he's not going to miss games, and also that he is going to give you some of the power that we have seen from him in recent years? Because that's been a nice development from Altuve as his career has gone on. Remember when he first came in? Not necessarily a power guy. He was, I'm going to hit like 360, and well, maybe not 360, but I'm going to win the batting crown, and I'm also going to randomly lead the American League in stolen bases despite having short, stubby little legs. Perhaps the greatest accomplishment of all time, right? It's like little Sebastian of stealing bases. Just how do you get from one to another when you're that small? To me, that boggles my mind. Because it's not like he's like this wiry small guy either, too, you know? He's pretty compact. And this guy used to steal 40 bases a year. Not anymore. This game has changed. Is he going to be the same guy? OPS of 850, above or below? What say you? I'm Paul Gallant, 713-780-3776. It is Astros opening day. Have any thoughts? 713-780-ESPN. At Gallant says on Twitter, it's Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family. Do you respect the Angels at all going into this season? With the Astros taking them on tonight, we'll talk about that and more. Don't go anywhere.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.